I'm here with Shamir Karkal, Head of Open APIs from BBVA. For our audience and FinTech Insider listeners, can you tell us who you are? What do you do?
Sure. So maybe I should just start off with my own background. I grew up in South India, in Bangalore actually. Became a software engineer in the 90s, just like a lot of people from that generation. Came over to the US in 2003, went to business school at Carnegie Mellon, then spent a few years at McKinsey as a consultant. It was in the summer of 2009 where my friend from business school, a guy called Josh Reich, reached out to me and started chatting about banking and finance, and eventually suggested that I should start a retail bank with him, which was a bit of a surprise. I mean, as a consultant in Europe, in 2009, I had more experience shutting down banks than starting them. But it just seemed such a compelling vision, because he realized and sort of jointly came to this realization that banks weren't delivering to the expectations of a particular segment of customers, basically digitally native younger customers who were doing everything online and were already beginning to do everything that they could on the mobile. But those experiences just hadn't caught up. And also, there was this large gap where the whole banking model was built around, essentially around customer confusion. And that the more customers were confused, the more money banks made out of that through things like overdraft fees. And we just realized that there was an opportunity to build from the ground up a digitally native banking experience which solved customers' problems and then aligned their interests with that of the bank and made money that way. So we set out on that journey in 2009, ended up launching Simple in the summer of 2012, and from there grew nicely and were acquired by BBVA in 2014. And that's kind of how I came to know BBVA. Soon after the acquisition, I was in Madrid meeting some of the senior executives there, and one of them told me about this idea they had of building an API platform. And I was like, yes, somebody should do that, and it should be BBVA because the world needs it, and you guys are the most tech forward, you know, the most vision in the top management that I found of any global bank. And so you guys should really do it, but please make sure you do it right and don't screw it up in all these ways. And he was like, oh, I'm really not the guy. You should go talk to somebody else. And you know, this kind of got kicked off then. And there was an internal ventures team which was working on it and reached out to me and asked me to be an advisor. And through this process of saying yes, I eventually just ended up running it about 10 months ago. And really, the vision is to build an API platform which, with the mission of being a trusted platform for financial innovators globally. We know that there's a huge explosion of financial innovation happening across the globe, but definitely in the US and in the UK. We have a lot of capabilities within the bank, whether that's in technology, compliance, risk, our understanding of particular customer segments. We want to bring all of that as a service to help these innovators sort of combine that with their own capabilities and build much better experiences for our end customers.
I think you said something really interesting there. You said doing it right. And I think it's in vogue at the moment after PSD2 for everybody to be talking about APIs. And indeed, through 11FS, we speak to a lot of organizations who are like, yeah, we're doing APIs too. I've got one of those. And it's kind of like, this isn't something you collect. It's something you do right. You know, this isn't something that's a tick box. There's an art here. There's a skill. And I look at organizations like Twilio as being like the benchmark for how to do APIs well. But it might be really helpful if you describe what an API platform is in layman's terms, because I talk to a lot of executives who go, well, I've been doing APIs since the 80s. I know all about APIs. And it's like, no, there's something really different here. What's different now about open platforms?
So, and what you said, or what you hear from those execs is definitely true. An API isn't anything special. I mean, you can think of a pretty much any way of connecting two computer systems as an API. What's changing is when you look at the technology world and the transformations that are happening there. I'll pick Facebook as an example. You know, they launched a product which was very successful and reached probably 100 million customers. And then they built an API platform attached to that product. But the API platform probably drove their success for the last billion customers. And it is now accepted wisdom in the technology world that you don't just build a product anymore. You build a product with a platform attached. And if you don't, eventually your product will be replaced by an equivalent product from a competitor probably, which also has a platform attached. And the goal behind the platform is not just to build APIs. You can build APIs the old-fashioned, I don't know, Corba process calls way, if you know.
God bless COBOL.
Yes. Or you can build them with, you know, modern REST over HTTP, JSON-style architecture. Modern architectures are more easy to use than the traditional ones. But the secret sauce isn't in just building an API. The secret sauce is in building a set of ways for innovators and end customers to connect into your capabilities. And that's the API is one piece of it. But what also needs to be there sort of behind the API is to package up your capabilities as a service. And those capabilities are not just the technology. They also include the, you know, all the things that banks do well, which is compliance, risk management, customer service to some extent at least, and just the legal and regulatory world. This is what makes banking different.
Yeah.
This is what banks know how to do. You have to bring all of that. Just having APIs internally may potentially be useful to you, but doesn't solve a problem for anybody out there. Just exposing APIs externally without making them easy to use and is also, you know, fairly useless.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you make them easy to use? Which is do the hard stuff and do it well and expose that as a service. And when you bring that together with an API, that's where you're building something that's really transformative. And I think it also should be a business. I mean, if you look at, again, at the examples from the technology world, there are a plethora of APIs and different types of APIs and API platforms. But it's clear that they are massively transformational, whether it's the Facebook API, the Twitter API, the Salesforce API, Amazon's multiple platforms, whether it's AWS or the marketplace, or Google, right? And these, so you can pick what type of platform and sort of, you know, what how you build it, but it is a business.
I see it almost as like being a way to invite entrepreneurs to scale your platform for you and to scale your existing organizational competencies on your behalf. There's a great statistic I saw that Salesforce, I think, has around 50,000 engineers that they have employed, which is quite a significant number. But they count in their developer community over 500,000 engineers that are adding value to their platform. That is a 10x multiple in terms of engineering talent working on their platform, which is huge. But that all falls apart when you have a compliance process that takes 6 weeks. So a developer has to send off a piece of paper, wait for it to come in the post and sign it, or has to go out and buy a hardware security module that costs $25,000 before they can use your API. So solving those problems is hard. It's interesting, you talked about making it a business as well. You know, what is the upside to an organization like a bank to really getting APIs right? You know, can you grow here? Can you grow your platform? Is that what you guys really see as the upside for yourselves?
I think so. I mean, I think this is going to be massively transformational to the whole banking industry. I mean, that's true of sort of the fintech revolution that we are living in as well. And I think the platforms are coming and are going to be part of that. Maybe the best way of sort of understanding what is the potential here is to look at examples in the technology industry where you have AWS, which has transformed the cloud infrastructure market, or the Facebook and the Twitter APIs. The real capability here is that there's always going to be much more external innovation than internal innovation, just because you, as a bank, cannot be, no matter how innovative you are, you can't be everything to everybody. And so how do you leverage that external innovation to essentially, feed off your capabilities and grab some of that capability and that market? So it's really, for a bank, any financial institution, really, it's a way of saying, how do you be part of that revolution, and how do you both engage with it, power it, and then derive value for yourself from it? Now, exactly how you derive value is very dependent on the specifics of your business, your market, and the APIs and what you're doing. And again, there's many, many examples, many different types of platforms that you could be building. So it's kind of hard to say that there is one solution. There's probably a solution for everybody, and maybe multiple solutions out there.
That makes total sense. So as an example, you announced that you guys are provided access to Dwolla. So Dwolla, a famous US peer-to-peer payments company, to one of your own APIs. Can you tell us a little bit how that came about and kind of, how that works and how that might help the ecosystem at large?
Definitely. Voila, as you said, is a payment startup in the US. They do P2P payments. They also power a bunch of other parties to use their platform to process payments. We started talking to them, I think, over 2 years ago now, before I came on board, really. And what they do is they plug into our US APIs and for our common customers, so those who are customers of Compass in the US and also customers of Dwolla, they allow you to plug into Dwolla and essentially enable real-time payments. Now, that's kind of the whole sort of focus of Dwolla, is making payments more seamless across the, you know, across the US and really creating a way to do real-time payments. Mm-hmm. They need to connect directly into multiple banks to do that, because there isn't really a retail real-time payments API payment system in the US. So we use something called three-legged OAuth. So a customer can connect into, like they can log into Dwolla, mm-hmm. say, hey, I want to connect my Compass account with Dwolla, click on a button that sends them to a little, you know, page where they put in their username and password, but that's their Compass username and password, which comes to us, mm-hmm. and they never have to share that with Dwolla. We then authenticate that, we check with them that they want to share this particular type of data mm-hmm. and transaction capabilities with Dwolla or with any third party. Dwolla is just one example. Once they approve that, then we give Dwolla a token which allows them for a period of time to get access to that customer's account and be able to move money to enable this real-time payments.
I think OAuth is a really interesting thing. For example, it's like when you use the login with Twitter or the login with Facebook button. It's not only using the application you're logging into, but it's calling out to Facebook. I think what would give people a lot of comfort is knowing that when I'm doing something with Dwolla, I'm also getting BBVA standing behind it and saying, yes, BBVA has authorized this too. Yeah. Which is a really, you know, for the geeks out there listening, definitely check out three-legged OAuth. And if you're doing anything with APIs, I think that's a really important tip. And I think the Dwolla example is interesting. Can you give me examples of live APIs you've got and how people might use them? Because I think often this subject comes to life and we tend to talk about the technology, but we don't talk about the customer journeys. So I'm a customer of BBVA. What could somebody build for me, or what has somebody built for me that didn't exist before that now exists?
Sure. So you can go check out our public APIs at www.bbvaapimarket.com. We have APIs, you know, they're publicly available. You can view the documentation both in the US and in Spain. I'll characterize them sort of broadly. The specifics are different in because those countries are different and the payment systems are different. But what they do is essentially that. They're BBVA Connect, like Facebook Connect. They use OAuth 2.1, I think, just like pretty much that's the latest standard. It allows people to get access to existing BBVA customers in Spain and the US, get access to their profile information, their account balances, transaction history, and payments capabilities.
So when they're getting access to these things, it's the customer themselves that gets to say, I give this third party access.
Exactly.
So it's only when I as a customer or a listener as a customer said, I would like this new service that's doing something amazing for me to have my transaction information, for example.
Exactly. So it's the experience across sort of all of these APIs is it starts with the end customer saying, I want to use an application from this third party. The third party has, of course, already connected into our APIs and gone through our processes to sort of verify them. So they use that third party app like a Dwolla. It securely verifies that customer is a BBVA customer. Customer approves to BBVA that he or she wants to grant access to this third party and exactly what they are granting access to. And once it's granted, then that third party gets access to those resources essentially and can use them for a certain period of time. And those are the sort of things that are available is, as I said, profile information, transaction history, balance history, and the ability to make payments. In many ways, these are exactly what PSD2 mandates in Europe in 2018. Now, PSD2 is still still evolving, and there's no technical standards defined yet. Mm-hmm. But as long as those technical standards, for example, that technical standard was OAuth, then we would be PSD2 compliant today.
Interesting. So you raise an interesting point there that now compliance in Europe is pushing for these services to be available. But I suspect, you know, whenever compliance pushes for something, usually the net result is that a bank produces something that's the least worst it can do, not the best it can do. And therefore, BBVA really being out in front in this one kind of gives you a different insight, because you see this as a business, you see this as an opportunity, not something you have to do. So it begs the question, what lessons have you learned in this journey? What has really come out for you and stood out as being, you know, these are the things that if we did it again, we'd do differently, or these are the things that you should know about, or here's just some good advice for doing it right?
That's a good question. One thing I think that we did right from sort of fairly early on is not to treat this as a compliance requirement, for example, from a PSD2 perspective, or to treat it as an engineering project. I mean, it has those elements as well, of course, but this is for us an independent business, and it is something that we think will be transformational to the broader ecosystem, but also definitely to us as a bank as well. Of course, just like any other bank, we are also on this digital transformation journey, but we think this is going to be an important and key part of that. So I would say that's one piece of advice, is don't think of it as I need to build APIs. No, this is a business. So think of it from that way. Who are the customers? What's the value proposition to them? How are you? What services and products are you offering to them? Mm-hmm. And start from that to sort of then get into, you know, the APIs are just one piece of that solution.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say is that it's very important to work with what we think of as kind of the control functions, which is, you know, compliance, risk, legal, regulatory, and sort of work with all of them as part of this business building. Because in many ways, the value that you're providing to these third-party developers and these, you know, fintech startups, innovators, is that you're doing not just the technology or payment processing, you're also doing compliance and compliance as a service, risk as a service, mm-hmm. legal as a service, regulatory as a service. You're packaging all of that into a service and saying, here is how you have an idea or a vision or a capability that you want to access. Here's the defined steps that make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that, or remember that very personally, because if you remember the introduction, I mean, Josh and I started trying to build Simple back in, we quit our jobs in early 2010. And it took us 2.5 years to go from quitting our jobs to actually launching Simple.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of that was figuring out how we could get a bank partner and a processor to work together and then build all of this sort of back end so that we could then build our experience on top of that, which was, you know, what we exposed to customers. So much of that could have been, you know, if we had a platform like what we're building now, we could probably have done that in, say, 9 months. Yeah. Maybe 6, rather than 2.5 years.
So it could really unleash a lot of different digital propositions for a new generation of consumer. But actually, so long as the banks are holding that float on their balance sheet, from their perspective, it's an acquired customer. It doesn't. And there is a strategic question about, do you need it to be your brand all the time? Which kind of begs the question then, kind of, who's the customer here? Is the customer the fintech developer? Is the customer new consumers being on your platform, but not necessarily having a brand relationship with them? Because I think there's a lot of heartburn that distinction causes.
Yeah.
And again, I look at tech companies who might have done this well. Where did you guys come down on that? I mean, if somebody's using an organization like Simple, for sake of argument, that hadn't been acquired by BBVA, you know, some other organization comes along, but BBVA is the platform. Is there a branding thing that you guys insist on with those companies? Where do you guys stand on that?
Well, in the three-legged OAuth flow, for example, the end customer has to have an account at BBVA of some sort or some sort of product, or whatever is being accessed, so those resources have to be there. But in general, we don't prescribe how the APIs should be used,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're not requiring people, for example, to put the BBVA brand. Now there's a bunch of compliance requirements depending on how, you know, like when you're using the FDIC logo in the US. And so those aren't sort of necessarily our restrictions, but just sort of defined by how the product or the mm-hmm. service works, that they kind of have to be there. And we're figuring out much of this as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
But in sort of general, we have APIs, we have a set of capabilities, we're exposing that to the market, and we aren't being prescriptive about how they're being used beyond the compliance and legal requirements that are intrinsic to this business.
Absolutely. And I think one of the interesting questions for me looking at this and is how do you take those traditional internal only manual compliance and control processes and start to automate them for a wider audience? Because if you've potentially got this network of developers, you've potentially scaled up your business, but also you've done it in a way where you probably can't push that much through the pipeline of those control teams. You need to grow those control teams by 10x to cope with all this new demand. So is there a process re-engineering element to what you guys have done behind the scenes to really make this work? And how do you see that?
I mean, the short answer is yes.
That's the ball game, right?
That is actually the probably the hardest part of this in many ways, and probably the most work involved as well. Those sort of, as you said, those control functions have to scale massively, and this is not a surprise to banks in general. I mean, everybody feels the need to sort of the regulatory environment we live in is forcing growth in compliance and risk and legal and all these things, but it's not just about that. It's about how to do it better and how to do it different, because we're talking about a different customer. Mm-hmm. We're not, you know, banks typically have end customers like, you know, retail or small business, and they have a bunch of vendors who are, you know, processors or what have you. They aren't used to working with innovators or mm-hmm. startups. And they don't know, is that an end customer? Is that a vendor? Do I apply my vendor management process? And the answer to all of this is, not quite.
Which is difficult because it doesn't fit in a neat box on a spreadsheet somewhere.
But it's also an opportunity because you can build a new box on a spreadsheet somewhere and define that box to work in a particular way,
yeah.
which is appropriate to that box. Trying to shove that sort of a customer or a relationship into an existing box, it's probably not a good idea.
That's very interesting. So one of our slogans at 11FS is digital banking is 1% done. And I think the digital element of APIs or the technology element is 1% of the story. Maybe 9% of it is proposition, and then 90% of it is what the new buzzword is reg tech or regulation technology. If 90% of it is figuring out that process, that's probably got to be one of your key hurdles. So I think that's been tremendously interesting from my perspective. Is there anything else from our audience that you'd like to share? Is there anything they should know about BBVA's Open API platform before we sign off today?
I would say go check out the website. It's currently invite only, but you can request an invitation and we give those out pretty freely. We're looking to get as many users in this closed alpha stage that we are in before we go into a broader release. And we're sort of interested in getting as many people on the platform and getting as much usage and is learning ourselves. I mean, we're just at the start of this journey, and I think it's going to be awesome. And I said this before, I think it's going to be transformational.
Well, Shamir, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.